Ephesians chapter 2, very familiar scripture, I'm sure. We'll just read verse number 8 and following. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now is Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, thereby. I'll stop there, maybe more than we can cover, but, you know, a continuing sentence. So Paul says this, we're saved by grace. If we think about the first of this chapter, we see the condition that man is in. By the word of God, we were dead. We were under the control of Satan. We were following the world. And we were headed down a road of destruction. And you know, I know people don't like the word predestination. But I just like to say this. Every human being that was ever born was predestined to die and go to hell outside of the grace of God. If it wasn't for verse number 4 where he said, but God, we would have all died and went to hell. I believe people, you know, I believe there's people that would, you know, don't like that word predestined. But if you're a Bible believer at all, if it wasn't for the Lord, we were all predestined to go to hell. And I say that because of this. You know, God told Adam, the day that you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. Did he eat of the tree? Did he die? He did. He died out from the presence of God that day. His sin separated him from God. Maybe you don't want to think about it like that, but you know, if it wasn't for the Lord, we would have all lifted our eyes in hell. Forward and backward, there would have been no hope but God. And even that John 3:16, for God so loved the world, if it wasn't for the love of God, there'd be no hope for any of us. But I want to think about just two or three verses here. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. If there's anything you can accredit your salvation to, just know this. You're boasting against your fellow man, and you are in contradiction to the Word of God. Anything you can attribute to your salvation. You say, well, I believed. I say this, the reason you believed is because the Lord gave you faith. The reason you believed is because of the work of God that came before you believing. You were not a believer. You weren't born a believer. You were born an unbeliever. You were born a sinner. You were born separated from God. So I want to concentrate on verse number 10, 11, and 12, if the Lord would help us. Verse 10 says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 11, wherefore remember. What do you want us to remember, Paul? I want you to remember that in the time past you were Gentiles. You know what that means? We'll read a little more about it. That means we were separated from anybody that had anything to do with God. That's the truth. The Gentiles had no knowledge of the God of Israel. The Gentiles had no law. They had no word of God. They didn't have Moses. He says over in Amos, he said, you of all the people of the earth, you only have I known. Listen, in the fourth chapter, if you would like to just turn the page and read with me, the fourth chapter, verse number 17. This I say, therefore, now he's speaking to the Ephesians who are saved. I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You see, the Ephesian church was there one day. I was there one day. I was blind. My heart was blind to the things of God. I didn't know God. My heart was hardened against God, and yours was too. He says that they were alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. You know, we've looked for quite a little while at the reason my people are in captivity is because they have no knowledge. Were you born with a knowledge of God? You were not. You were not born with a knowledge of God. Verse number 12. So verse 11 says that you were called uncircumcision. You were on the outside. You were the outcast. As far as Israel was concerned, as far as Judaism was concerned, those people down in Sychar, those people down there where Jesus sat on the well, those people over in Samaria, those people down at Ephesus and Colossae and Corinth, and those people in Rome, you know who they were? They were the outcast. But God. Isn't that wonderful that but God remembered us? Isn't it wonderful that God remembered us? We were the uncircumcision, and we were called that by those that were called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. I ask you this, were those that were the circumcision, were they saved? Not necessarily. I hear Chris over here and saying, no, it was made by hands. So did the Jews need a circumcision as well? They needed a circumcision of the heart, didn't they? But as they looked down upon the people that weren't the children of Abraham. They looked down on those that were not circumcised. They looked down on them and they said, well, you're of the uncircumcision. We're the circumcision. We're the favored people of God. We're the people that really know about God. But I say this, verse number 12, I believe, is talking about all of man. I believe that verse number 12 is giving us a picture of what every one of us were. Whether we were children of Abraham in the flesh, circumcised in the flesh, or not. I believe that you could say that the man that wrote this letter was a man circumcised in the flesh, and for 30 plus years of his life, he did not know God. for 30 plus years of his life, and especially for the last few years, he was fighting against God. He was fighting against the church. Here is a man who was born as in circumcision, a man who was a Benjamite, a man who stayed with Judah, a man of the tribes of Israel, a man circumcised the eighth day. But did that make him saved? Did he know God? Did he know Jesus? Did he know the church? Look how ignorant that such a learned man is. On the road to Damascus, a man does not know God, a man who does not know Jesus, a man who is persecuting the church, a man who is against everything that God is for, there is the man that wrote this letter. Paul says, remember, verse 12, that at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There's the condition of all of mankind. Look at it. Look at it for just a moment. Let's walk through this verse. That at that time, you who are saved, you who are saved now, and though you weren't a part of Israel in the flesh, though you weren't a part of the children of Abraham, listen to what he says. Though you at that time were without Christ. So that word means that we were separated from Christ. And you know, that word there, it also means this, that we were, the word means bereaved. So when you think about bereaved, what's the first thought that comes to your mind? Death. Our brother says death. So here's a people that are separated from God. Here are a people that are bereaved. Here's the truth of it, folks. God was dead to them. And they were dead to God. You see, we need to remember where we came from. We were dead to God, and God was dead to us. We were separated. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says to us here that you were without Christ. So we were separated. We were bereaved. At that time, God was dead. Now you think when God told Adam, the day that you eat thereof, you shall die. Adam wanted to be away from God that day, didn't he? That day, all the previous days, Adam had come in the cool of the evening, and when God came in, Adam and God walked and talked together. And that day, Adam died out from God. That day, if friend, as far as God was concerned, Adam was dead. Can you see that? That there was bereavement there. The separation had brought death, and it brought bereavement. It brought great sorrow because someone had died. Can you see this? Listen to the word deprived of a close relationship by death. Bereavement means that there is a depriving of a close relationship. And what is man? I tell you that man was deprived of God because of his sin. That relationship that Adam had. Now know this, you and I never had that relationship that Adam had. Not until we were born again, not until we were saved, not until God does a work in our heart, man is bereaved of God. That relationship that Adam had with God, a friend, that relationship was severed by death. That relationship was severed by sin. But I was born in sin. I was born dead. Now, I don't mean that literally, because he said, you have quickened who were dead and you walk. So we were alive. We were alive, but yet we were dead to God. Our relationship, we were separated from God. We were bereaved of God. Our friend, we were living in a place that God didn't know us, and we didn't know God. I don't mean that literally. God knew us before the foundation of the world. But in my mind and in my thinking and in the context of today, God didn't know you. God didn't know you. In time, I'm talking about. Now, in time, you were separated from God. But God, isn't that wonderful? A friend, that here we were dead. Here we were alienated from God. Here we were separated from God. Here we were dead to God. But God. Friend, if it hasn't been for but God, where would we have ended? We would have ended in hell. We would have lifted our eyes in hell. But in time, God sent His Son to this world that you and I, who were predestined to die and go to hell, if it hadn't have been for but God, if it hadn't have been for the love of God, if it hadn't have been for the mercy of God, if it hadn't have been for the compassion of God, every one of us would have died in our sins and went to hell, because we inherited our friend death from Adam. Remember this. Remember that you were one time dead from God. Remember, if you're not saved today, that you are dead from God. The relationship that Adam had, a friend, until Jesus Christ moves into your heart, until there's forgiveness of sins by placing your trust and your faith in the finished work of Calvary, until that happens, you are bereaved of God. The relationship that Adam had, a friend, was forever separated. A friend, man, has been separated from God, from Adam, until the day that God did a work in your heart. So the Word says, remember this. Remember, church. Remember, Ephesus. Remember where you were. Remember this. That Israel had no use for you. It's the truth. Why are you going down there? Why are you going down there to Sychar? You're going to go to Samaria? Oh yes, he's going to Samaria, and thank God he does. Thank God he come to my Samaria. Thank God he came to where I was. Thank God he didn't leave me in the condition I was in, because I want you to know this, and I believe there's a difference, folks. There's a difference between religion and salvation. I believe people that are saved care for people that are not saved. But religion doesn't care anything about people that are unsaved. If you're not like me, and you're not on my ball team, and you don't play ball the way I do, and you're not in the religious clique that I'm in, I have no use for you. Thank God how the Lord Jesus loved us while we were dead in our sin on the road to hell. He loved us before the foundation of the world. And God sent His Son that you and I could be brought into the family of God, who were dead, who were separated, who were bereaved of that relationship. God took the initiative to bring us in. Religion didn't care a thing about you. We were Gentiles. We were separated. This is what the book says. You were without Christ, being aliens. Really, the word is supposed to be alienated. We were estranged from God. You hear it maybe on the news. Some crime has been committed and And here's some man and woman, or here's this situation, and the reporter may say, the estranged husband, the estranged wife. What does that mean? That means that there's been a separation there. So where is man? Man is estranged from God. Man is alienated from God. What has brought about the alienation? What has brought us to a place that we're estranged? What has brought us to a place that we're apart from? What's brought us there? I tell you, it was our condition, our spiritual condition upon birth, being brought into this world. And listen, friend, you might say, well, preacher, I don't believe that man sins until he's this age or that age or the other age. I tell you that inside of every child, inside of every little one that's ever born is a nature to sin. And friend, I don't know at what age you could say that they have the knowledge, but know this, that death is in them. Know this, that sin is in them. Know this, that rebellion is in them. And we inherited that. That was handed down from our federal head, Adam. And every one of us were born estranged from God. He's wanting the church to remember where they came from. Remember the condition you were in. You were dead in trespasses and sin. The relationship with God is a relationship of bereavement. We're dead. We're dead. God can't have a relationship with us because we're dead. Can God do anything with dead? I tell you what God's going to do. God is going to bring the dead to life. God is going to bring life into the dead. God is going to do it. If you and I have communion with God, it'll be because God does a work in us. While we were yet dead in trespasses and sin, our friend, God so loved us. While we were dead in trespasses and sin, God quickened us. Our friend, now you tell me this. Man is dead in trespasses and sin, and God makes him alive. What did you have to do with that? You were dead. You were estranged from God. You were without God, separated and bereaved. Alienated. Separated. And the word can also not only mean alienated and as estranged, but shut out. We were shut out from God. I mean, in the earthly temple or the earthly tabernacle, either one, could you bring anything dead into the temple? Nothing. How in the world is dead man going to come before God? There's no way that dead man, dead in sins, dead in trespasses, under the influence of the devil, following the way of the world, we're estranged from God, bereaved because the relationship has been severed, or shut out. My friend, you know something? It looks to me like we were hopeless. You were out without Christ, estranged, shut out, alienated from the commonwealth. You see, the only way for people in that way to know anything about God was through Israel. Nobody else had the law. Nobody else had a word from God. All of these other people, what were they worshiping? Well, they were worshiping Ashtaroth, Molech, Baal, stones and stocks and silver and gold and even a stone set up out of the unknown God over at Mars Hill. They didn't know God. They were separated. They were estranged. God was dead to them. That's the condition of man. God's dead. But that God that is dead to man is the very God that's going to make a dead man alive. Listen a little farther. We were aliens or alienated, shut out. You know, there was no place. There was no place inside the temple if you were not an Israelite. They had the court of the Gentiles, but you couldn't go in there. No. I'll tell you what you can do. You can stay out there. You can stay out there and worship this God if you want to. Now tell me, how much do you think they know about this God? They don't know anything about this God. They're estranged from Him. They're shut out from Him. The gate and the divisions in the temple kept me and kept you from coming to God. But God came. How can you thank God, the Lord Jesus, when He died on the cross? You know what He did? He broke. Friend, He tore down all the middle wall, the partition. He tore down everything that separated us from God. Friend, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And I want you to know this. I've got access from the court of the Gentiles, through the court of the women, through the court of the Israelites, through the court of the priests, into the court of Almighty God by Jesus. We were shut out. We were shut out, estranged, dead. God was dead to us. We were aliens. We were strangers. That means that we were foreigners. Listen to what the Bible says over in verse number 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. You know what I am now? I'm a citizen of the family of God. I'm a citizen now. I was not a citizen. I was a stranger. I was a foreigner. I was an outcast. I was alienated. I was estranged. I was separated. I was shut out. God was dead, and I was dead to God. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of the gospel and the work of the Son of God on the cross of Calvary, you and I have become citizens. But preacher, I believed. You were dead and you believed. No, you were dead and God made you alive. I'm not saying you didn't believe. You have to believe. You have to believe. You have to put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus. But it's God who is working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God who's working in you. It's God who is reviving a dead man. How the dead man could believe. It's God who's working in a dead man. And friend, that man is going to be saved by grace through faith. And that not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. Thank God. I'll tell you this, friend. It's a gift without strings. It's a gift that comes from God. Here I am, a dead man. What can I do? I can't do anything until God does. You see, remember. Remember where you came from. You were without Christ. You were a foreigner. You were a stranger. You were on the outside, and you were strangers from the covenants of promise. You had no knowledge of God. You know what I would say? Before I was 23, you know what I'd say? Well, I believe in God. You know the God I believed in? The one I had in my head. It wasn't the God of the Bible. It wasn't the God of the Word of God. It wasn't the God who sent His Son to die for me. It wasn't the God, I tell you, it was a God of my own imagination. It was a God that I had made up. It was no different than those gods they had set up at Mars Hill. Man has always got a God in his mind that will fit his lifestyle. That's the truth, folks. Man has got him a God figured out in his mind that'll justify him, that'll accept him, that he's good with and God's good with him. He's got a God made up in his mind. But I'll tell you where they were. They didn't know God. They were dead to God. God was dead to them. The relationship had been severed thousands of years before by Adam. And that relationship could only be reinstituted, be revived, be a resurrected relationship by the work of God. We need to remember where we were. Without Christ, separated, bereaved, alienated from the commonwealth, shut out, estranged, and were strangers. We were foreigners. We had no knowledge from the covenant. We were strangers, no knowledge to the covenants of promise. I didn't know anything about the promises of God. It's the truth. I didn't know one thing about the promises of God. I didn't know that He would forgive me of my sin. I didn't even know that I was a sinner. I was judging me by looking at other people, and I judged myself to be better than the majority, and I judged that God was going to let me in because I was better than most. I had no knowledge of God's requirements. I had no knowledge. I was ignorant. Ignorant of what God required. We were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. You say that? No hope and without God in the world. We were godless. We were godless. You might say you believed in God, but the honest to God truth is you were an atheist. You were. Oh, preacher, that's a bad thing to say. That's where we were. Spiritually, we were there. We might have said with our mouth, and we might have realized because we live in a beautiful world, and Psalm chapter 19, a friend tells us about a world that's speaking all the time about a God who is in heaven, but I didn't know that God. He was an alien to me. I was alienated from Him. I was estranged from Him. The relationship was severed. Friend, I had been shut out, and friend, the honest to God truth is, I had no hope. There was no expectation from God whatsoever. And I was without God. I was without God in the world. I was godless. I had no God in my heart, no God in my life. I had no real God in my mind. The God I had in my mind was a God that I had conjured up by my own thinking. A God that would accept me the way I am. Now let me tell you something, folks. This going around that God will accept you just the way you are, you better be careful of that. I tell you what God will do. God will accept you just the way you are if you admit you're a sinner. God will accept you just the way you are that you are hopeless. God will accept you just the way you are if you confess and you say the same thing that He does. I want to tell you this, friend. You'll never be accepted with God into God's heaven the way you are. No, ma'am, and no, sir. You are estranged from God. You are without God. You are, friend, an atheist as far as God's concerned. You have been separated and you have been shut out. And the honest to God truth is, you have no hope whatsoever. You're going to die and go to hell. That's what's going to happen to you. If God doesn't do a work in your heart and change you and make a new man and a new woman, a new boy, a new girl out of you, you will die in your sin, because right now, as far as the Ephraimites are concerned, these Ephesians, friend, I tell you where they were. Paul said, remember this, you were separated from God. You were estranged from God. You were alienated from God. You had nothing to give you any knowledge. I tell you what I want to do. You want to talk to me about God, I want you to shut up. That's the way man is. Man wants to hear anything about God. No, ma'am, and no, sir. He's not interested in hearing about God. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, every one of us would have died and went to hell. Let me tell you, He's going to have to do more than. He's going to have to do more than us look at the sky and look at the mountains and look at the stars, and look at the ocean. He's going to have to do more than that. There's a general revelation. But I tell you, one day God come to my heart. One day the Lord come where I was. One day I was lost and undone and had absolutely no hope. I had no expectation from God. I tell you the honest to God truth, I was on the road to hell and didn't even know it. And the Lord come to me. Now what obligation did He have to come to me? Had I done anything to deserve him coming to me? You know, I hear people that claims to be saved, and I'm not trying to nitpick or not trying to be ugly, but people say, God must have saw something in me. Let me tell you what God saw when he looked at you. He saw a sinner on the way to hell. He saw a man and a woman that was dead in their sins. He saw a man that was estranged from God. He saw men and women that were happy to be estranged from God. He saw people that were following the devil. He saw people that were under the control of the devil. He saw people that were under the control of a strong man. If it had not been for the stronger to come by and hold back the devil and reveal the lies that he told and take away his armor and take away the lies that you and I believe for years and years and years, we'd have died and went to hell. Hadn't have been for him. No hope. You know, in the Bible we say this, and we've said it often. Hope in the Bible is a certain expectation. We had no certain expectation, did we? It's like Anthony said this morning, and Chris, God plant our feet on a solid rock. But you know where I was? I was in sinking sand. I was going down. I was sinking. And listen, this is the way I looked. I looked around. And you know, I was going down. But you know, I've heard this little saying. We were poor, but we didn't know it. Everybody else was too. I was going down the hill, and as I looked around, everybody else was going down too. But God. Thank God, but God. God looked my way. God had mercy upon me. God sent grace to me. I believe this, folks. I believe it's just like the angel said unto Mary. Mary, hail thou that are highly favored. Hail thou that are highly graced. Hail thou that has the blessing of God. That's what happened to me one day. The Lord come by me being estranged, separated, alienated from God, on my way to hell, bereaved, because there was no relation between me and God. I'll tell you, I believe that if it had not been for the bereavement of God. See, I had no bereavement. I'd never known that relationship. God had the bereavement. God had the relationship severed and taken away. God wanted to restore that relationship. God wanted a bride for His Son. There was none worthy. Isn't that right? Search the heaven, search the earth, search beneath the earth. None. So what did he do? He himself, his own arm, brought salvation. Oh, God, help us to remember where we came from. So he says, we, having no hope, and were without God in the world. Now, I know this is going to be backwards, but I want you to go to verse 10. For we are his workmanship. So that word means his product. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter number 1. This word right here. For we are his workmanship. It's used one other time in the Bible. And Romans chapter 1 verse 20. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You know who made us? He did. Now listen. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So what are we? Well, verse 11 and 12 tells us what we were. But look what we are now. We are a new creation now. We're a work of God. We're something that God made. I didn't make myself. Now listen, I don't want you to take me wrong. The man that's going to die and go to hell, did God make him? You're going to have to deal with it. Did God make him? The man that's going to die in his sins and go to hell, did God make him? But God did something for you that man that died and went to hell has not had done for him. God created you anew. You were estranged from God. You didn't know God. You were separated from God. God was bereaved that the relationship had been severed. And here I was without any knowledge of how to get to God. And God moved toward me. And God, he says this here, listen to these words. Then he said, and you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we are created. That word right there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. He says this, that you, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word means a new creation. To what you are a new creation. And friend, you're a new creation because God saved you. You're a new creation because God can save you. You will be a new creation how when God brings His Spirit and power upon you and you confess your sin and you want to be saved, you will be a new creation of God. God will make you over. Isn't that what He said to me? What part of me needs to be made over? There's probably a lot of things I'd like to go back and be made over. But no, I tell you the part he's talking about. He's talking about that inner part. He's talking about that part that's separated from God. He's talking about that part that's dead. He's talking about that part that is estranged from God. He's talking about that part how that makes me a foreigner, how that makes me a pilgrim, how that makes me a stranger. He's talking about doing a work on that part and making that new that I could become a citizen of the kingdom of God. So, read with me also in Galatians chapter number 6, verse 15. 6:15, he says this, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You know, there's the difference. We've been born again. Does a man need to be born again? Does a woman need to be born again? Did Nicodemus need to be born again? Well, I'll tell you what, Nicodemus needed it. He was a religious man, but he needed a new birth too. And the people down at Ephesus, they were alienated from God. They were separated and they were strangers. They had no knowledge of the promises that was given unto Israel. But they needed that same resurrection. They needed that same new birth. They needed that same creation that God make them a new person. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. So God planned this from the beginning? Yes. If you're a child of God, there will be good works. You will not be a child of God because of good works. You will have good works because you're a child of God. Now think about what good works are. I believe good works are works that brings glory, as our brother said this morning, to the Christ that saved us. Glory to the grace of God. Glory to the one whom when I was dead, glory to the grace of God when I was dead. Glory to the grace of God when I was under the control of the devil. Glory to the grace of God that brought me from death unto life. Glory to God who brought back a relationship that I had no interest in. We got any good works? Any good works? Which God hath before ordained. That word means to make ready beforehand. He predestined us to it. Look with me in Romans chapter number 8, verse 28 or 29. And we know, verse 28, that all things work together for good to them that love God. Let me ask you, when did you start loving God? If you're unsaved, you don't love God today. The only reason that you would love God is because He first loved you. Now, when did God love you? Before the foundation of the world. Jeremiah said He has loved us with an everlasting love. So I believe you could go beyond the foundation of the world. That I believe that's written where our mind can comprehend it. But when did God love us? He loved us from eternity past into eternity future. But listen now. Listen to these words. For all things. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And to them who are called. To them who are. Now you notice this. Maybe you say, well, that ain't necessary. To them who are called. No, the Bible says to them who are the called. Is that important? Is that little three-letter word, is that important? Oh. Just read with me and we'll see how important it is. Who are the called according to His purpose? Whose purpose? God's purpose. My purpose? My will? My desire? No. No, I was called according to God's purpose, to God's will, to God's desire. For whom He did foreknow. Now notice this. The Bible does not say what God foresaw. The Bible says whom. It never says what. God foresaw what? No, ma'am, and no, sir. God foreknew whom. He foreknew, and that word means this, to love beforehand. Before when? Well, when did He love us now? You've already said before the foundation of the world. I've already told you Jeremiah said that He loved us with an everlasting love. He's loved us before the foundation of the world with an everlasting love. So when did He know us? When He created us. When did He create us? When did He create anything? When did He create any? Is He not the creator of everything? So whom God foreknew, He also did predestinate. Now remember what we're reading over here in Ephesians 4:10. So He ordained that we would have good works. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. So that word there again, it means beforehand. He did predetermine. He found there was a destiny in mind. Predestinate to be conformed. So that word means to be jointly formed. And what's the goal? To be conformed to the image of His Son. So what's going to happen in my life and your life? By the gospel and by the work of the Holy Ghost, everyone that is foreknown, every one of them has been predestined to be conformed. You're going to be jointly formed to the image. You're going to be like Jesus. You're going to have the resemblance of Jesus. You're going to have the kind of spirit that He had. You're going to have the kind of love that He had. You're going to have the kind of character He had. And that is determined beforehand. Let me tell you, friend, when you see a multitude of people around you how that has no conforming to the image of the Son of God, know this, they don't know Him. They've not been called. They've not had the call. I'm telling you today that there is a general call that goes out to all of mankind. There was a general call that went to a multitude. How there was a general call that said, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden. But who can? God pursued you. God pursued you. I don't believe that. all right. Predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know what the brethren is going to look like? Firstborn. We're going to be like Him, Leah. And if He has called you and foreknown you and brought you from death unto life, He has determined that you would look like His Son. Just a little more. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, to be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, listen now. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. So folks, if I can't differentiate between a general call and an effectual call, everybody's justified. But is that true? Is everybody justified before God? No. The changed, the new creature, the new creation, those that are conformed to the image of His Son. But this word says that everybody that's called. So there must be a distinction. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things if God be for everybody? If God be for us, who can be against us? Folks, they'll have to be a work of God. They'll have to be a call through the gospel and the Holy Spirit come to your heart. And you will have to come to Christ. There is a general call and there is an effectual call that will bring about the predetermined result. Preacher, you're talking way over my head and talking stuff I don't believe. Here's what you need to believe. What you need to believe today is if you're not saved and born again and bringing forth fruit unto God, and you're not a new creature, and you're not having good works of faith and led by the Spirit of God, know this today that you're a lost man, and you're a lost woman, and you're separated from God, and you're alienated from God. And had it not been for but God, we would have all lifted our eyes in hell. And if you don't respond and you don't come to the call of the gospel and you don't come to the wooing and you don't come to the drawing of the Holy Spirit, know this, that it is absolutely predetermined you're going to die and go to hell. We're either going to be saved by the marvelous grace of God and but God. There's just no way around it, folks. Either I come to this beautiful, loving, merciful Word of God, or I remain with no hope and without God in the world. That's where man is. It wasn't for but God. He's done a work in us. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, He has done a work in you, that you might be conformed to the image of His Son. Listen to what He says in John chapter 8, verse 44. Why do you not understand My speech? Even because you cannot hear My word. Now, does that mean literally that they can't hear the Word of God? I believe there's plenty of people that hear the Word of God and never respond. Plenty of people hear the call. Plenty of people hear the general call and never come. Plenty of people went out this morning and said, oh, look what a beautiful world God has given us. But let me ask you, do you know Him? Are you in a relationship with Him? What's the problem? Oh, why don't you understand? You can't hear. Do we need God to give us an ear to hear?
Do we need to pray that God would give our families and our people and our neighbors and our friends and our loved ones? Do we need to pray that God would give them an ear to hear? Oh, Lord God, help us. I pray that we would pray for them. Seek after God for them. Because right now they're under the control of Satan. Now they're under the control of the devil. Now they're following the things of the world. Now they're dead in trespasses and sin. Now they're on their way to hell. What has to happen? Why? You are of your father. Now you tell me. You tell me this right here, folks. Jesus Christ Himself is saying in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. Does He know him? He knows him. Why do they hate Him? Why did I hate Him? Why did I flee? Why did I run? Because my deeds were evil. Because I loved darkness rather than light. Because that I was under the control of the devil, and the devil is the prince of darkness. If it hadn't have been for but God, we'd have ever won, died in our sins, and went to hell. Thank God for His mercy.